Today I'd like to share with you the topic, Beware of False Prophets. Let's turn to our scripture today, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 23. Matthew 7, verse 15 through 23. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Today we have before us a warning from our Lord Jesus. Beware of false prophets. It's a simple concept. Avoid what is false. Don't hang around with those who change or misrepresent Scripture. And the other side of this coin is just as important. Keep hanging on to what is true. Make sure you read and listen to the pure Word of God. So if we turn our attention to the religious community, where do we start? At the far end of things, the Episcopal Church just had their big meeting. They elected an openly gay leader and chose to accept same-sex relationships. And we see on the other spectrum, the Roman Catholic Church also has big issues with a celibate priesthood, and among other things. So where do we go? How do we watch out? Watch out. That seems easy enough, doesn't it? But the issues get more complicated. When you look at the shelves at the Christian bookstores, you will find loads of books telling you how to feel good, how to be successful, how to make your life more than it is today. What is good to read? And then there are the people who feel that all churches should work together, no matter what the doctrinal differences may separate them. Who is right? We wonder what will happen next. Some are sure that there is nothing to worry about, while others have concerns. How can we sift through it all? What is good? What is bad? What is true? What is false? You know, we tend to expect others to tell us what is good and what is bad, and to warn us of every danger. We think there is no way that we can be discerning by ourselves. In our lesson, though, the Lord Jesus urges all of us to be on guard. All of us to look for truth and error. All of us to watch out for false prophets. Lest we feel the task is too large for us, Jesus promises we will know them by their fruit. As an added comfort, he assures us that God knows their heart. Now, the tough thing about false and misleading teachers is that no one stands up and simply says, I am teaching a false doctrine, follow me. They all say they have God's word on their side, or that God's love is what moves them to action, or that Jesus would want it this way, or Jesus would want it that way. All that may sound convincing, but Jesus warns us, watch out. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Now, the sheep's clothing of today is often an emotional argument. People are saying, you know, if God is so loving, how could he hurt my feelings by telling me I am wrong? He would never condemn me for the way I believe. And then there's the rational argument. You know, all that old stuff, that doesn't apply to modern people. That was for the old folks back then. Today is today. See, all this is placed within that innocent covering of sheep's clothing. Watch out. Jesus says if we look at the fruit, we can see what type of tree it is. With a clear principle from nature, he tells us, good trees bear good fruit, Bad trees bear bad fruit. It can be no other way. If a good tree begins to bear bad fruit, it is no longer a good tree. So what kind of fruit should we be looking for when we evaluate religious teachers or religious materials? I think two questions get really to the heart of the matter. First, is God's truth being proclaimed? And secondly, does Jesus get the spotlight? So when you hear a preacher on the radio or on TV, ask yourself if you are hearing God's truth. If you get a religious book or you see a spiritual message, compare it with what the Bible says. You have been taught the truth through Sabbath sermons and Bible studies, spiritual convocations and articles of faith and basic doctrines. We know the truth. If the Bible says something is sinful, then anyone who tries to explain the sin away is not speaking the truth. If someone says the Bible is not trustworthy, that is, filled with error, he is not speaking the truth. When people change or skip things or choose to ignore verses that God has inspired, they are not following the truth. Watch out for them. They will try to make their falsehood seem sweet and wonderful and desirable, even beneficial. It is sheep's clothing. You will know them by their fruit. You know, sometimes people talk in a way that makes it hard to tell if they're speaking truth or lies. They avoid the issue or they change the subject. A second fruit to look for helps us see under the sheep's clothing. Is Jesus getting the spotlight? Does the message highlight what God has done for us? Is the Savior's work put in front of you? We call that justification. The Lord Jesus died in your place, so you are now declared forgiven. This is the central message of the Bible and should be the central message of every true messenger of God's word. So that shelf full of how-to books might give advice on dieting or finances or being happy. But does it highlight the Lord's death and resurrection? With that high-profile preacher on radio or television, does the Savior stand out or does his personality take center stage? That church with a bulging membership, do they focus on Christ's work or on people's actions and activities and social events? To put this into a framework we're familiar with, does the Ten Commandments come with full force? God tore into those false prophets who would not call for repentance, who would not warn of God's judgment. They spoke of peace and safety when sin should have been confronted. We need this full force of God's law. Without it, we would be ones drifting into self-centeredness and error. But God's law does come to us with full force. Your pastors and your teachers and your fellow members tell you when you have broken God's commands. They do not let your sin grow and lie unnoticed. They tell you to repent. Just as God's law needs to hit us like a brick at highway speed, so we also need the comfort of the gospel. Jesus has forgiven your sin. He lives to assure you that you have new life in him. He comes to you in baptism, in the Lord's Supper. He comes to us in foot washing. He comes to us in the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. And he comes to us in the gospel word to build you up, to encourage you, and to support you. How precious is this good news! How we long to hear it again and again. False prophets rarely speak about the law or the gospel clearly. You can read books, and you can hear tons of sermons without hardly a mention of the peace Jesus gives with his forgiveness. They speak loads and loads about the law of Moses, but a law that meekly encourages us to be like Jesus. Rarely will you hear law that forces you to despair of your own efforts. Rarely will you hear the Savior who alone has rescued you from your sin. As a contrast, Paul spoke the law to condemn. He said, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. And he spoke the gospel to motivate. You receive the spirit of sonship, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The truth of God is proclaimed, and Jesus gets the spotlight. So look at the fruit. Look for law and look for the gospel. Look for Jesus. Then you will be able to discern what is good for you spiritually and avoid what is harmful to your faith. Your pastors and ministers, fellow members are there to give you advice. But finally, it is only you who can do it. You have been instructed. You know the truth. Jesus is set before you regularly, and he lives in your heart by faith. Be discerning. Watch out for false prophets. Avoid what is false and misleading. Cling to what is true and what builds you up in the faith. One of the nagging doubts we have when we make a distinction between true teachers of God's word and false prophets is this. What if I make a mistake? What if I think this is fine and it is not? Jesus assures us that he clearly sees the heart. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. See, not everyone who cries out, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father. We want to enter heaven and not be sent away. So we must ask the question, what is the Father's will? And we brace ourselves for the answer. Is it some heroic act? Does it take persistence or money? Do I have to be better than someone else? No matter how little God would require of us, we could not do it. Our sin corrupts everything and makes it detestable to God. No matter what we do, it cannot measure up to God's perfection. But God's will is not something we do. It is a gift from God. God's will is that we believe in Jesus. God's will is that we be baptized in his name for the remission of our sins. God's will is that we are born of the water and of the Spirit to enter the heavenly kingdom. God's will is that we remain in his church like the disciples and pray diligently and faithful for his promised indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God's will is that after we have been baptized into his body, that we partake of his spiritual flesh and blood during Holy Communion. God's will is that we observe the sacrament of foot washing so that we may have a part with him and be complete in our salvation. God's will is that we obey his Ten Commandments, which he summarized into two. Love the Lord God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. If we love God with all our heart, we will naturally keep the first four commandments that show our relationship and obedience to God. And if we love our neighbor, we will keep the remaining six. All who follow his commands and walk as he walked, all those who listen, obey the teachings of the disciples, and do as they did and walk as they walked and trust in him will be saved. Remember the question the 3,000 asked Peter on the day of Pentecost? What must we do to be saved? Peter told them what God's will was. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Not the Father, not the Son, the Holy Spirit, for the remission of your sins, not to simply join a church, but to receive the forgiveness of sins. Faith is a gift from God given through his gospel. God knows all who trust in him. He sees their hearts cleansed of all sin in the blood of Christ when they are obedient to him. They are dressed in his robes of righteousness when they are obedient to him. They wear a crown of righteousness when they do these things. These all will be welcomed into the glory of heaven. These all have done the will of the Father by trusting Jesus. All the rest, no matter what the spectacular achievements they have done, will be sent away. Regardless of the size of their churches, regardless of the size of their bank accounts, regardless of all the charitable works they have done, regardless of all their efforts, unless they do the will of the Father, they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus records their protests. Say, we did all kinds of stuff. We prophesied. We drove out demons. We did miracles. We made our churches grow. We gathered lots of money. We were successful. Of course, we did it all in your name, but look at what we did. Remember how I said to look for Christ at the center of the message? Who is at the center of this protest? Even at the very end, it is all about the people. Look at what we did. When God looks at what we did, apart from Christ, he must condemn us. All our righteous acts are but filthy rags. Only in Christ are we declared not guilty. Only in Christ are we forgiven. Only the message of Christ saves. So be vigilant. Watch out for false messengers. Be wary of what you hear and see. Just because it has the label of Christian does not mean it is good for you. Not all who cry, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven. The ferocious wolf wears sheep's clothing. Dig into God's word yourself. Review the truths you have learned, led by the Holy Spirit. Compare what you see with the truth of God that God has revealed. By their fruits you will know them. Perhaps the best part is that God blesses us as we are watchful. Left to ourselves, we would soon be false teachers, misled by our sinful nature. But surrounded by God's word, filled with his Holy Spirit, and confident of the truth in Christ, we are corrected and encouraged and strengthened. Our Savior has forgiven us, and he lives in us, so we serve him to his glory. Amen.